Last week on the Poison Rana Patreon, we talked all about the Blair Witch Project in a brand new episode of Reviews from the Six.
Yeah, like, again, you don't necessarily see anything too scary. It's a lot to be all in your head and kind of, you know, it. Watching this, if we were to be watching this side by side, like, I could be in my brain imagining some witch levitating with, you know, big old hairy chest, nipples, belly, like that woman said. Or I could be like, oh, no, it's a killer. Or maybe it's Josh. Or maybe it's the fisherman. Like, you and I could have different visions in our brain of what is coming after us right now. Like, you know what I mean? So it's so creative in that way. But it's done so, like, easily. Like, how easy is this to do? Get this show plus NXT retro reviews, wrestling reviews, movie reviews, and so much more over at patreon.com/poisonrana. And it's only $5. So what are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for, huh? What are you waiting for?
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Take it each day as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you could never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next here on postwrestling.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever podcast app you are using right now, or maybe you are listening to us or maybe watching us
live on youtube.com/postwrestling. Hello, postmarks. How are we doing?
Hello, everybody. It is Tuesday night, October the 15th, halfway through spooky season. We'll get into that in a second. But it is Tuesday. More importantly, what do we do on Tuesdays here? We talk about NXT because we are your NXT friends.
Friends.
And we'll always be your NXT friends from back in the day, black and gold, colored to silver, to all the paint splatters, all the different stuff there. But now a new performance center as well.
Some new lighting. Yeah.
New lights. We got rid of the people in the background, meaning those fake people.
I mean, the screens are still there. I did find it funny because you're saying, you know, they're on the road for 2 weeks because they're doing massive renovations to the performance center. It looked like it went from, you know, color splattered JPEG to black and gold JPEG and now to black and silver JPEG. It looked cool, don't get me wrong, but it was still the PC.
It's still the PC. Yeah, I think the thing that I noticed is, at least maybe I didn't notice, those fake people that we always hated to see, like, behind the people. And it always did look like this, like, little warehouse, right? Like, I mean, I guess, did we ever pour one out for that film studio in the UK where they filmed NXT UK? It kind of has, like, hey, it's this little place and we're gonna film wrestling, but like,
don't get me wrong, I like it. I like the performance center as like a for studio wrestling, but what was kind of maybe expecting something a little different.
I think it looked fine and it looked like kind of the way it did before, but maybe they fixed like a few things, but nothing that necessarily went, oh wow, that looks like different or anything like that. So maybe it's still a work in progress, but aren't we all just a work in progress? Hello, everybody. It's time to talk about some NXT. How are you doing, good sir?
I'm pretty good. Yeah, yourself?
I'm good. I'm currently dog sitting.
Nice.
At a family friend's house, and shout out Floyd. So I've been taking lots of dog walks, and he's finally asleep now. I knew NXT would definitely put this dog to sleep, but so I was doing that, was working. Canadian Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you're a Canadian now, right? Is that correct?
It's still not official yet. I passed my citizenship test. I still need a ceremony. I need to pledge allegiance and all that, but I'm almost there. I didn't really do Thanksgiving, but we did just just have a prime rib, which is pretty good.
Very nice.
My new roommate, Blazer Graham, his parents went to Jules Bistro tonight on our recommendation. So we thought we'd have our own Jules Bistro here and found prime rib on special, like I guess Thanksgiving leftovers, and it's pretty good. It's pretty tasty.
Oh, Thanksgiving leftovers is what I was surviving on today. Like turkey sandwiches is like a weakness of mine. Like I you can't give me a lot of it. I'll just continue to eat it. But I don't necessarily think turkey makes me feel sleepy until like you forget about it, you've eaten it, and then all of a sudden you feel really, really sleepy. Maybe that's why the dogs.
It is a legit thing though, isn't it? It's not just like, oh, you've eaten too much and you're going into a food coma. There is like a chemical or something in turkey that does make you sleepy.
Serotonin or something? I don't know if that's right. There was a TNA stable named after it or something. I'm probably wrong, but but yeah. Shout out Canadian Thanksgiving out there. It might not be all big and glorious.
Tryptophan.
Tryptophan.
Tryptophan. Yes.
That sounds
an essential amino acid found in various foods, including turkey. You see, up next is educational as well as hilarious and fascinating. All those things.
I always love, you know, it's weird because I'm not necessarily a big like fruit and meat guy, but cranberry and turkey seems to really go together. But I also like specifically mustard on my turkey sandwiches. And then another fall time thing, which I'm realizing is this like a year all year long, those ginger ales, Canada Dry, but like with the cranberry in it, like those
I,
are
I
like,
feel I see that. I feel I see them all year round. Maybe
underrated. Underrated, yeah. But I went to make a mixed drink at my mom's for Thanksgiving, and she's like, "Oh, like, hey, I got some of those cranberry things," and my girlfriend's like, "Oh yeah, do you have any Diet Coke or whatever?" She's like, "Yeah, I got some Coke Zero." So we go to make a drink with a Coke Zero, and I realize the can says Oreo on it, and I'm like, "Mom, did you buy Oreo Coke?" She's like, "What the hell is Oreo?"
I've heard about this.
Legit, like the can, it says Oreo, like. Ever so slightly, so I can see why she made the mistake, but she did not purposely buy this. She was like, oh, in fact, now she made me take all the rest of them because she's like, I do not want this. But so I tried Oreo Coke and it tastes like vanilla Coke. Like, I definitely don't necessarily think it screams something you need to try, but I have now tried it and I was like, why?
It sounds very sweet, but yeah.
Oreo Coke. Yeah, taking two things that you should definitely not have together.
Now, are there Coke flavored Oreos?
Ooh, now that's that'd be interesting. I don't think so. Yeah, I don't know.
Evil Evan in the chat saying turkey plus cranberry equals chef's kiss. Yeah, there's something that just works about cranberry with turkey. I do think when it comes to those sandwiches, though, it's the stuffing in there as well. It's got to be turkey, cranberry stuffing, and some like Dijon mustard or something like that. And
that was it.
It's I tend to make like. Because I don't celebrate Thanksgiving, but I do the same meal for Christmas. And it tends to be my like breakfast. I'll make like a breakfast bagel. So like cream cheese, bacon, turkey, stuffing and mustard. And it's so fucking good.
It's the key. Everyone knows. I know Americans, they got their Thanksgiving coming soon. So I know that they do it up all big. We still get the Black Friday deals for whatever reason, but happy Thanksgiving, everybody. But so you're almost a Canadian. When does that happen for you?
It's just a waiting game, really. It seems to be moving pretty quickly, so hopefully not too long.
Nice. Okay.
But I'd like by the end of the year would be pretty good.
Were you celebrating, even though you're almost a Canadian? Were you celebrating with all the Brits out there for Zack Sabre Jr. This past week?
Yeah, he brought it home. I don't think any sort of real surprise there. It was cool to finally actually see it happen. Long overdue in my mind, but I think we all kind of thought as soon as Zach called his shot before Wrestle Kingdom, you kind of figured, they feel Naito probably isn't going to be able to keep up this pace until Wrestle Kingdom.
His knees definitely can't keep up.
He's just like shot. I did catch the match. It was, I like Zack Sabre Jr. I thought the moment was awesome, but I find Naito matches a struggle, and I know him and Zack have good chemistry, but I feel I've seen it quite a lot and seen it more when Naito was maybe a bit more in his prime. But I'm excited. I'm curious. I know we were fantasy booking like a few months ago when Zach won the G1 about, you know, you could do it. Zach beat V. Brian at Wrestle Kingdom. And that's not to say that can't happen, but obviously with Brian's like
full-time retirement.
Full-time retirement, who knows? It kind of feels, I feel they need to kind of let it play out for quite a long time with him not wrestling before you bring him back to make it feel special. Yeah. And I January seems pretty soon. So I don't know. I don't know what the Wrestle Kingdom match will be.
Yeah. For
Zach. We're getting Sanada next week in the UK.
Just, who cares about that?
But no, I mean, it's going to be cool seeing Zach as champion walking into the UK with that. But
super happy about him, like super thrilled for him. Like obviously, like this guy's been kind of a staple in the New Japan mid card kind of scene for the last little while, and obviously putting on bangers in the independents and Rev Pro and everything. But like for years, it seems like we've watched him, and he's just been awesome. And I thought the last year with the two Danielson matches just were like so phenomenal, and others, especially his AEW, like dipping in and out of there. So he's had a great year, and I'm like so happy that he's the champion. The only bummer is like, oh man, the rubber match with Danielson is right there and could even be like your main event if they wanted it to for one of the nights that's going. But I'm wondering what the direction is, because you now have the Young Bucks announcing that they are wrestling for night two, which is Wrestle Dynasty or whatever. You have Kenny Omega teasing that he also will be wrestling. There is some sort of a angle, I guess, that it looks like it could be Kenny and Tanahashi versus the Bucks. So that wipes out any of those people being involved with, like, Kenny versus Zach is not happening, which is just a weird thing, because then now Tana has announced that he's retiring the same week that John Cena retires.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's going to be a sad week for wrestling. But that's in like a year and some change. We still have hope. The ultimate dream match of the ultimate good guys in wrestling, John Cena versus Hiroshi Tanahashi, Triple H. Lower those walls down. Make it happen just one time. One more time.
I mean, we've already seen, like, you know, with the TNA involvement with WWE, we've had the what is it? The Marigold crossover, some GCW. Like, it's those doors are a bit more open than they used to be. I don't see it happening, but one can dream. It would be cool, the two aces going at it. Both a little past their prime.
A little.
But still, they don't need to do much, do they? It's a air guitar, you can't see me. They don't need to wrestle.
Sounds beautiful. I would love to see that. It looks like not Tanahashi. Yeah, he will be wrestling. If that tease about Kenny and Tana versus the Bucks is happening, it's kind of a weird move that's the match. Like, wouldn't it be Ibushi if he's coming back as well? But not quite sure what's going on there. But at the same time, Nakamura seems to be wrestling in Japan.
Well,
very close to Wrestle Kingdom, which is, I think, making some people speculate that maybe he will be, in fact, involved with one of the Dome shows as well, which if that's the case, you could have potentially WWE talent, AEW talent, and New Japan talent all on the same week or the two shows there. But that's just kind of pure speculation from some people now.
Remember, the Bucks did fire Kenny from the Elite. They did kick him out with the Elite.
Right.
So you mean Kenny teaming with Tana Rock.
It's just like Tana's like, hey, what if we, like, you know, we had a great match at a Wrestle Kingdom a few years ago when the story was like, get out of here, new school, you leave. And then now it's like, hey, let's be partners. It's just kind of not maybe the dream maybe scenario there. Like, if it was just Golden Lovers.
We've seen the Golden Lovers.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just kind of odd. I mean, Okada should be the one to retire Tanahashi next year, but we just did the, like, quote unquote last time ever with those two. But New Japan has not been interesting, and it's because of like the newer crop that they haven't necessarily focused enough on, or they just weren't ready. Mm. But having some other need, like Kenny Omega, I miss him. So having him in New Japan, I think, stirs some interest, but I'm not necessarily looking for that.
Honestly, none of that really interests me. It's all a Band-Aid fix. It's cool, but we've seen all those matches. We've seen all those combinations. There's nothing really particularly fresh, even bringing back past New Japan talents. And having people come back just for one night, it's not fixing their long-term issues.
The Bucks?
I think having Zach on top, that's a step in the right direction. But you really need to just work on the other talent you've got in your company, or look 100%. To bring in other wrestlers from other companies that could be something. They've dropped the ball, I feel, on so many.
Oh yeah. It's like such a, I didn't even realize that show was happening. I've been so separated from New Japan, where I was such an avid, viewer at lots of times. So they definitely need some fixing, but I do always like to tune into the Wrestle Kingdom. And obviously that's a while away, but it's like, we're getting those key characters, but that's going to be some of the outcomes. It's like, but maybe it's like, well, who can these people face? Cause maybe the stars just aren't ready there, but yeah. Tanahashi. We'll see what happens. I'm hoping for that John Cena match, but I doubt that we'll get it. You think John Cena is wrestling at WrestleMania?
Yeah. Yeah. He'll be at Mania. I feel we'll probably see his build start in January, right? With the Rumble and all that, his last Royal Rumble, his last Elimination Chamber, all of that. So I don't think we'll see him this year. But I do think we'll see him come the build to Royal Rumble.
Will we be seeing The Rock at WrestleMania with these strange reports that, was it The Observer that had mentioned that The Rock potentially could be missing WrestleMania 41, and The Rock was quick to shut those down on Instagram, being like, whoa, that's some bullshit. I don't know.
I 100% think we're seeing The Rock at WrestleMania.
Absolutely.
I think at this point the date of WrestleMania next year is different. It's at a later date than usual. I would have thought they'd have had this in the works from pre WrestleMania 40, right? Once The Rock and TKO and once they decided that they're not going for Rock and Roman for this year, I think a date has definitely been in mind. And that's not to say I don't see him working other shows. I think there is the potential of him, working the Rumble or something like that as well. But yeah, I 100% see him at WrestleMania.
Yeah, for sure. Like the storyline, I could see him. We've talked, he's definitely, if you want to call it wrestling, in the War Games match. I imagine he's the last person for that new Bloodline team. So
I've got to say, and I'm stealing this from Michael Hamflett, who from What Culture, who we had on the show not so long ago, but he suggested that the thing that The Rock gave Cody, remember he gave him something and said, "Don't break my heart," is the number 31. And it's, you have the Rumble, you have the two left in the ring, and then a countdown comes on, and the 31st. Entry of the Rumble is The Rock, and he just tosses him out and wins and goes to WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's a bit out there.
I'd love it.
Because he's the TKO leader, right?
Yeah, he can do what he wants.
To do that.
I added a 31st.
Well, he's already a champion. Muhammad Ali's widow gave him the belt, so he doesn't.
He's got to enter the Continental Classic and get that thing unified with all the other titles.
If The Rock faces Cody at WrestleMania, is the first 20 minutes for the Muhammad Ali title?
Exactly, yeah.
And then after that, it's for the W. Right, okay. Got it. Yeah. I think having The Rock back, especially something about The Rock calling people crackheads, just, it's got my goat, man. I'm just in. I'm full in. So anytime he shows up lately, I'm so ready for that. So I think we got another wild ride to the big shows coming up this year. You can hear more of us talk about other stuff other than NXT, like we just did, on Poison Rana. Search Poison Rana in your podcast app or social media. Give us a little follow, a subscribe. We just did a show on Sunday for free, chatting about AEW Wrestle Dream, where we talk about some screwdrivers, some turns, some plastic bags, and a whole lot of other stuff that happened. A very somber end possibly to Danielson's career, as we chatted about Wrestle Dream. But we have lots of other shows every week. Shot in the Dark, 15 minutes or less. John Cena Evil will fill you in on all the other wrestling going on, whether it's Impact, TNA, Ring of Honor, everything, even WOW. And we have the Total Divas episode of Eagles Don't Hunt Flies, where post-wrestling's own Wei Ting joined Martin, Dickey, and Brandon for a very hilarious chat about Total Divas featuring Dean Ambrose, a.k.a. Jon Moxley, and the infamous hat stealing in Toronto. Mm-hmm. Right? Yes, yes. Very, very funny episode. So lots and lots of free podcasts. But we also have more. If you're like us and you like spooky season, you might want to check out our patreon.com/poisonrana. $5 to become a friend to access everything we got coming out this month, but everything in that back catalog. We got tons of scary movies and wrestling reviews in that catalog. But we just dropped our Blair Witch Project 25th anniversary, talking about some witches and some forests. But we just did a retro NXT, talking about some old NXT from 2014 when Tyson Kidd re-debuts on NXT, which is pretty cool. And Paige vanquishing the NXT Women's Championship. Is that right? Yeah, we just did that. We do
relinquishing.
Relinquishing? What did I just say?
Vanquishing.
It just vanquished. And if that is it, yeah. Even is a word. So those were some shows that we just did. But we have some really good ones coming up, because we just celebrated the 25th anniversary of the Blair Witch Project, but another horror movie just turned 50. And we got to shout out John Cena Evil, as he will be joining us to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Oh, yes. Yes. I haven't watched this film for a very, very long time. Yeah. And it's turning 50 years old, or has just turned this week 50 years old. So really looking forward to revisiting this one. It's always a pleasure chatting with Cena as well. Really looking forward to this one. We're recording this tomorrow, putting it up later in the week. But if you want to leave feedback, do it. We have our feedback thread up on the Facebook group and on the Patreon. So leave all your feedback there. But we have so much more lined up for spooky season on the Patreon. Next week, we're going to be doing a best match ever, Abyss.
Yes.
Talking all about those spooktacular matches he had in TNA.
Yeah, this is kind of a perfect storm here, because I've kind of secretly had this show idea in my back pocket. I was like, man, I think Abyss doesn't get enough big love for being a big man in wrestling. And obviously he's kind of scary, kind of like TNA's Kane and Undertaker put together. So it would be a good October show to look at the best of him. However, Abyss lately, Mr. Parks has been putting on some bangers as a producer in WWE. So a lot of your favorite matches lately in the WWE have actually been produced by Abyss, just counting the Hell in a Cell with Punk and Drew from just last week. So we want to give all the flowers to Abyss. So we went through, you've made this list of all his best TNA matches. We'd love some feedback on this as well. There's a ton of Abyss matches that come to mind, and I can't wait to talk about them. So we're going to be doing that. Lots and lots of shows on the Patreon. So wrestling, scary movies, we got you covered, fam. We got you.
And as we're on the road to Halloween Havoc, I can reveal the results of our poll as announced on Poison Rana this past Sunday. Halloween Havoc 1995 is the winner. So we're going to be going back and looking at this. The Giant versus Hulk Hogan in a monster truck match. Need I say any more?
Please don't.
We'll be rounding off the month with that Halloween Havoc review, as well as our annual Halloween review that we give out for free, where this year we're talking about Halloween H2O. So much to look forward to for the rest of this month.
Look at all those podcasts. We got you covered, whether you're into the horror movies or into the wrestling. We got so many Halloween Havoc reviews in the back catalog, movie reviews in that catalog. It's only $5. So go check us out and support your boys. You can also support us, chop-tees.com/poisonrana. Pre-sale is up for that varsity jacket, which is just beautiful. But we got snapbacks, hoodies, hats, and everything on there. And that is also how you can support. And I love seeing all the photos. If you do buy some of our merch, please send in some photos, because you look so good in the froggy style wear there. Really appreciate it. And then last plug here for any Toronto area people who want a party for Halloween. Well, we got you covered on Devil's Night. We're turning it into Loomis Night, October 30th. Downtown Toronto at Gabby's King Street West is where we will be starting our Halloween viewing party and bar crawl. That's right. We do lots and lots of wrestling watch parties, but why not watch Halloween on Wednesday, the 30th of October. We want to support Donald Pleasance and Dr. Loomis. Everyone dresses up like Michael Myers. So I don't know if we're going to try to break some sort of Guinness World Record or weird thing here, but we're going to attempt to have the most Loomis cosplay going here for Halloween costumes. So if you have a Michael mask, bring it. You got a regular Halloween costume, bring it. But if you show up like Dr. Loomis, I'm talking bald head, bald cap, facial hair, you know, raincoat, shitty little gun, maybe a bottle of wine in your raincoat pocket, and you just start shouting, "He's evil!" This is the place for you. So we would love to see you. This is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be very random, but we're going to then bar crawl a few downtown. And it's $10, which gets you your first free drink, which covers the whole drink anyways. And then we're taking half all our proceeds that night and giving to Sick Kids Toronto. So yes, thank you. We're excited.
It's going to be awesome. We want as many people there as possible. It's going to be so much fun. Yeah, and I've just looked. I can't see a world record of the amount of Loomises in one night. So we're guaranteed to break it. So come to this Guinness World Record breaking event at Gabby's King West on Devil's Night, the 30th of October. Even if you can only come for the first bit, we're starting at 8. The movie will be done by wrapped up by 10. If you just want to come for that bit, say hello, have a drink, maybe have some wings. Wings are half price on a Wednesday as well. So can come along and hang out. It's sure to be really fun. We've started dressing up the bar all for Halloween. It's looking great. And we can't wait to have all you guys there.
Absolutely. So poisonrana.ca for everything else that we do, including podcasts, live events, and everything else. But appreciate everyone out there listening. And hey, maybe you're new to us. Hope you enjoy and tag on for the ride. You know,
and
I mean?
Finally, check out one of our proud sponsors, if you will, chop-tees.com, our wonderful, beautiful merch store where Dickie Bird, one of our favorite patrons, listeners, and friends, is always hard at work. He's got the Poison Rana Varsity jackets, which are coming out next month, but you can still pre-order yours by going to chop-tees.com/poisonrana pre-order, and all pre-orders get 10% off. And you know, you can get, there's a money back guarantee, size exchanges if needs be. These things look gorgeous. So go over, get yourself one. And to make things even easier, Dickie's set up payment plan. So you don't even need to pay for it all in one whack. So what are you waiting for? Look fresh this winter and get yourself a Poison Rana Varsity jacket or one of the many, many other merch options we have for you on the store.
Absolutely, yes. Independent podcasters thrive on merch and Patreon and all these fun ways. Also here while we're doing up next on Post Wrestling, Super Chats are very, very welcome. So yes, let us know what you're being for Halloween also. Because I have, we have like our Loomis night, and then, you know, we like to dress up like wrestlers as well, which we got some ideas planned maybe, but I still don't have my like Halloween, like one Saturday night away from this week's event. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I technically need to have three Halloween costumes because
I find it weird. So many places are doing Halloween the week before. It feels really early when Halloween's on the Thursday. I figured it would just be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but
some places are doing it. Yeah. I noticed that some are, but I'd say more of the bigger ones are the 26th, the Saturday. So I'm sure that's everywhere. But not to say that you can't party on what's November 1st, Day of the Dead, Muertos.
That feels better. That feels a better
Beast
day.
Muertos.
Yeah, I don't know.
Something like that. But yeah, happy spooky season, everybody. I've been watching a few scary movies, getting into the ones that we're not just like reviewing and everything.
Okay.
I've just been, and recommendations are always welcome by listeners as well. We like to get scared. So
I think I mentioned last week, I rewatched watched Silence of the Lambs. And then a couple of nights ago, I watched The Black Phone.
Oh, yeah. Love that. Yeah. It was weird, but it's good.
It was all right. Yeah, it was all right.
I see a lot of that costume now. That was a really popular costume last year. Yeah, yeah.
And sure to check out more as we lead to spooky season. But shall we get into some up next as we're on the road to Halloween Havoc?
Absolutely.
NXT, October 15th, 2024. We're back in the PC with the new black and white design set. And we start with Tony D'Angelo's celebration. And he wants family out there. He's got a bottle of white wine for this celebration. And he gives respect to Obafemi. He says he's the longest reigning North American champion ever. And he broke him. But he needed to beat him any way possible. So Tony targeted his pride. He said, I baited you to make you think that you broke the Don. Then I seized the moment and did the unthinkable. I beat you. And I know our story isn't over, but... And that's when he's interrupted by Obafemi, who says, I can't believe it. You got me. I admit it. Congratulations. You got me once, but never again. And at Halloween Havoc, I will reclaim my North American championship and be the ruler of NXT. And your little family here won't be by your side to help you. And as he leaves, he turns around and spins the wheel, and it lands on tables, ladders, and scares. So Obafemi, Tony D'Angelo at Halloween Havoc, tables, ladders, and scares match.
Yeah, I liked the, like, almost like a cold open of Tony alone in the darkness, but like a spotlight on him sitting down, bottle of vino. I think Vic Joseph mentioned it was Merlot. I'm wondering if that is Tony D'Angelo. I mean,
it wasn't, because it was a bottle of white wine, so I don't know what Vic was talking about.
But he was drinking red.
The bottle looked like white. So I don't know, some grape errors juice, on the Welch's props department there. Yeah,
in Arizona iced tea, maybe, perhaps. But yeah, I just got me thinking that like a guy named Tony D'Angelo should have Tony de Merlot wine. Like that's just an easy, if Undertaker wine, which I'm pretty sure was just like Undertaker wine, which was not a creative name, but like probably did well. Tony D, he's got some future business ventures. They could be up 13%. I like that visual of him. He always looks good with the suits. And I like the video that they kind of aired while they were making their way. That's like, hey, there's a new member of Tony D and the family, and she's beautiful. And then they pull out the title and they're like, yes, they're so excited. But I'm kind of like scratching my head at the match option, because it's like, I don't necessarily want to see these guys have a like TLC match, but I'm not like knocking it until we see it, I guess. But
we see different variations of the TLC. We see the one which is pinfalls, and we see the one which is grab the title. So I wonder which one they'll be doing. I got to say though, someone's got to check this wheel, because spoilers, I'm jumping ahead here, but we get a tables, ladders, and scares match and a devil's playground match. Now go back to every NXT Halloween Havoc. I'm pretty sure these are the two matches every single year.
What do you mean? It's got we've had the coal miner's glove for, I don't know. Seemed the wheel didn't look that good. And they also didn't say spin the wheel and make a wheel. Spin the wheel, make a deal. So I was a little angry at that.
I would like to see them shape this up a little bit, because it does feel like it's the same two match types every year. And it's always just no DQ. And I think do a coal miner's glove match or something. Do
that
something
would have
been
ridiculous. More interesting, yeah.
Just to like break the mold a little, because it's like, oh, what a surprise. We're getting a street fight and a ladder match, essentially.
Do we need to see? I guess they want to see how Obafemi can do in a ladder match, because, like, can he climb a ladder? He'll break that thing. Like,
there'll be a moment with Tony climbing it and Oba picks up the ladder with him on it or something like that.
Again, I'm like, I think it's a weird match option, considering we both really enjoyed their match last week. That was just the one-on-one. So I don't necessarily think the stipulation is like warranted or needed for this particular feud at this moment in time, but sure, it's Halloween Havoc. It's, you know, it's got a fun name with the scares in it, so why not, I guess. But you don't see Tony losing this, right?
We
just won.
No,
it,
so I feel it's a bit of a waste to have him lose it right away, and I think Oba could move on to other things. It could be a way to like debut someone or start a new feud with Oba. You know, have someone run out. Have someone run out to cost Obafemi the match. They don't have to be affiliated with Tony D. They're just wanting to take him out, perhaps. I could totally see that be a thing to sort of protect him somewhat. But, yeah, I don't see Tony D losing it this quick.
Yeah.
We go to our first match of the evening. Stephanie Vaquer. I'm going by the way Mike Rome pronounced it. So Vaquer. I've heard different variations.
I noticed Vic did as well. So I'm wondering, like we heard other people say it the other way. So Stephanie Vaquer.
Vaquer.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Got it.
Taking on Ren Sinclair.
I loved Stephanie. There was a backstage segment as well explaining the gentleman's rules, but I think we should save that for when we get to the gentleman's rules.
That's exactly what I'm doing. I have the rules up here, but I figured it would be made more sense to combine.
I'm itching to talk about gentlemen's rules. Don't get me wrong.
Too.
But,
me too.
What was up with Stephanie Vaquer's? Sorry, see, I'm already messing it up. Her SmackDown versus Raw, like generic rock music. Did we get this last time? Because I'm like, oh, this feels very like really generic guitar 14 here. So
they haven't hired the new people yet. I'm guessing.
Yes. Okay.
And this should like Julia's is cool. Julia's works.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
There's even one later in the show that kind of took me by surprise a bit, but I agree. Stephanie's, we used to kind of a pretty big presentation, aren't we? When they're bringing these kind of imports into NXT, you know, we've had the big entrances in the past with obviously like Nakamura and, dare I say it, Karrion Kross and people like that. And I do kind of agree this felt pretty understated. Maybe they're saving all the wacky entrance stuff for Delta when she debuts. But
yeah,
I was expecting a bit of a bigger presentation with Vaquer here.
I know what you mean, but I do think she looks the part. Like, she looks like a superstar. Like, she's... Yeah. Got already like this like stature, like aura, if you will, that she already is like, oh, she looks like a badass and looks like she could murder someone. And she put on a pretty good match here.
Yeah. Vic's putting her over as what, the greatest luchador in the world, I think.
Luchadora.
Luchadora. Okay. All right. Vaquer's showing off all her kind of submission skills. Obviously, she's up against Ren Sinclair, part of the No Quarter Catch crew. So it's a bit of a submission chain wrestling kind of match here. We get head scissors from Vaquer and goes for a crucifix when Ren escapes, and just some really smooth looking submission transitions here between the two. And then Vaquer locks in. It looks like she's going for a figure four, and then it sort of turns into a sharpshooter, but with a pin attempt. It was very cool, just wrapping her legs all up here. Ren gets out of that and locks in cattle mutilation. But as it's locked in, she's kind of spinning around the body to wrench on the arms a little bit more.
Yeah, they mentioned that this must have been what Charlie Dempsey has been training, because we've seen him do the neck things backstage quite a bit. But this is now doing it while having cattle mutilation in. And I don't want to be a tinfoil hat here, though. But if Charlie Dempsey is teaching Ren Sinclair how to do the cattle mutilation, you know what I'm going to say there, Davey. You know, it's all part of the plan for Bryan Danielson to face him one day. But yeah, I thought she looked great here. We've been really like high up on Ren Sinclair's actual wrestling, and seeing her almost like a crab or a spider while locked in that, while putting that move on, added like more flair to that. So
that
I kind of, my only gripe is that it was so good that I need to see her win matches with it, because I think it could be her finisher.
What I like about it is it's marrying the kind of submission style that she's learned from the No Quarter Catch crew, but marrying it with her high energy annoyingness. You know, she's locking in this great submission, but essentially just running around in circles in the ring whilst doing it. And I thought it really worked for her character. Ren then runs right into a kick to the gut from Vaquer. And this is where we see Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade watching on in the back. Stephanie then wraps her legs around Ren's head and just starts slamming it into the mat. Very Charlotte Flair-esque here.
Very Sasha Banks, who maybe she picked that move up on in her one match that they had.
And we see Miles Bourne just looking shook here as Ren's getting all beaten up. Ren comes back with a double underhook suplex, and Vaquer traps her in the ropes and delivers a dragon screw leg whip, followed by the running knees in the corner. And then like a package backbreaker for the win.
Yeah, maybe she, again, I've only ever seen bits and pieces of her work before. Vicaire, and that Sasha match, that Mercedes match. So I'm not quite sure if her finisher is some sort of package pile driver that maybe they're getting the Kevin Steen, Kevin Owens treatment here. Like, we don't do that move. Again, this is just week one of her wrestling, but not the most impressive finishing move considering this match had some pretty cool looking moves. So aside from that, which they'll work on that and they'll improve on that, I thought this was a pretty good like showcase of not only Stephanie, but of Ren, because again, like there was some good wrestling in this, I thought, for what it was.
Isn't this the trend in NXT though right now? It's, you know, have some really cool things about you, have some cool moves, and then just a flat
worst finisher.
So many, like we need someone to teach finisher school in NXT, because a lot have very basic finishes. And yeah, I kind of thought the finish was the least impressive part of the match. And yeah, I really enjoyed this match. I thought it was a great showcase for both of them. I think Ren Sinclair was the perfect opponent if you want to show off this, you know, quite exciting submission style. You know, she just had so much smoothness with her moves here. And I thought Ren was matching her. So Ren in defeat, I thought, looked better. And I think it really showcased what Stephanie Vicaire can do, and it's something quite different from a lot of the rest of the people on the roster, and I include the main roster with that as well. So I was really impressed with this.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Ren again was given this another one of those Thea Hale annoying high energy characters, it seemed, but has totally ran with it, and then now wrestling, who, you know, some say, or as Vic said, the best luchadora, and kind of going toe to toe, was showing me that, like, hey, whatever they're doing with Ren Sinclair down in the Performance Center seems to be working. And, you know, potentially they got something with her as well. But this was also, hey, look at Vicaire here. You know, Vicaire about Vicaire right now is basically what they're telling us. And I think, like, right away, just seeing her, I'm like, whoa, what can you really do? And I'm definitely interested to see where she goes in WWE, because just the look alone, I'm like, man, she looks pretty scary with the face paint thing and the X-Men like Psylocke attire that she kind of wears and everything. Like, yeah, I think she, what do they call her? The Dark Angel as well. Yeah. Like, she's kind of got a whole package thing going on here. So pretty good.
After the match, Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez run out to attack Vicaire when Julia runs out for the save, chases them off, and then they issue a tag match at Halloween Havoc. And we will get confirmation of this later on in the night.
Yes, yeah, so it is announced, Halloween Havoc, Roxanne Perez, Cora Jade taking on Julia and Stephanie Vicaire. I guess no title matches there for Roxanne, but I see this like kind of two sides of the coin. I'm like, okay, pretty cool that we're going to see these two new, you know, who are supposed to be touted as, you know, the big women stars coming into NXT, Julia and Stephanie. But then it's also like, we're not just getting a Roxanne defense against Vicaire or Julia or a triple threat or a four way. So I kind of like, okay, it's cool that we're getting this, but at the same time,
if we're going back in NXT history, this is kind of what they did with Finn Balor and Kenta, wasn't it? Do you remember when they came in and then like
Hideo Itami,
the first big takeover with them both on it, they tagged, I think, was it taking on the Ascension or something? I can't remember.
Oh God.
But yeah, I see this as a way they know these four are the ones who are going to be doing the different combinations for the women's title. And maybe if this is our plans, maybe through to as far as WrestleMania with these four, we don't want to burn through the singles matches right away. We've already done the Julia Roxanne match. So can possibly do this Halloween Havoc match and then save Vicaire for Deadline maybe against Roxanne or something.
Sure.
Like that.
Yeah, for sure. But I think this is also, again, I'm like kind of bummed we're not getting another title defense. And because Roxanne's title reign has been awesome and, like, you know, the one of the best reigns in NXT women's title history, if you ask me, it's up there. And I'm kind of like, oh, and then we're just getting a tag match. So I hope it like really delivers. I want these four to like put on a really good tag match and prove to us that, you know, they really hit it home on this episode of NXT multiple times, whether it was the wrestlers or announcers saying NXT is known for the best women's roster in all of professional wrestling. This women's roster is the best roster in all of professional wrestling. So this tag match better really deliver then. If you keep trying to tell me this, and
I hope so. Like I hope it gets time, and I hope it's treated like. I mean, we've seen a lot more on the main roster about big tag matches. We've just had it at Bad Blood, didn't we? And we've had it at Mania the last couple of years and stuff. So I think there is potential to make this feel a bigger deal than without the title being on the line. We see Kalani Jordan and Trick Williams backstage. And Trick says that this title run will be better and longer than his last. And is saying, like, who could I face out this triple threat tonight? Kalani says that she doesn't know who she's going to face next for the title, but she trusts Ava on who she'll pick. And we see Toxic Attraction looking on. And they're kind of like, oh, right. Okay, well, we need to check in with Ava then, as they've been eyeing up the North American title.
Kind of weird for Kalani to be like, yeah, I don't care. I don't care who Ava picks. I don't really.
I mean, it's a babyface thing, isn't it? Like, I'll take on anyone, any comments.
It didn't, like, she may have even actually probably said that because it's such a wrestling, like, catchphrase, but it sounded so much like, yeah, whoever Ava picks, I don't care, kind of vibe. Yeah. Again, like, the slowest of slow burns for Kalani to turn and lose this title, which I think she should, but I just found that funny. Like, no, usually you're really focusing, like, I'll take on anyone who steps to me. I've been watching NXT, and you know, I just saw, you know, it's just like, yeah, whoever Ava picks is fine.
Okay. We see Carmen Petrovic and Brinley Reese in the locker room, and they're just gushing over Stephanie and Julia. They're so excited they're there. And this is when Ashanti the Adonis comes in and apologizes for costing them the match the other week when he came out to give a rose. And
he says it again. He says the line from last week that we really loved.
Adonisly.
Adonisly, I got caught up in the moment.
Yeah. Sean Spear shows up and says that these are ladies and you should speak to them with respect. And Brooks comes up and is like, yeah. Grabs the rose and tears it up. So they get in each other's face when luckily Robert Stone was there to break them up and sends them to Ava's office to get a match later in the night. So we'll be getting Brooks Jensen versus Ashanti the Adonis later on NXT.
But then the camera focuses on the rose that was pulled off the stem.
The petals, see, yeah.
Yeah, Carmen picking it up and like holding it, like thinking about something. So yeah, very strange angle here. I guess you have the Canadian Sean Spears coming in being like, hey, be respectful to women. So I thought that was very nice. But then also I didn't necessarily think that Ashanti was saying anything that disrespectfully other than making puns out of his own name. So that was kind of weird. So very strange how we got to this match. I think, you know what? I think I would have preferred if Ashanti, I'm sorry, like actually was being a bit of a dick to, I guess
a bit more of a dick
like last week and when he was calling Tatum a freak or whatever, but still I'm like,
he's not being like Lexus King sleaze levels. Yeah. Though, has he?
He's just trying to find love.
Yeah.
Love Island, NXT.
I don't, it's different when like a main roster star comes down, but I hated the start of this, just Carmen and Brinley, like oh, Julia and Stephanie, aren't they great? They're so good. It just, I don't know, it makes them seem less than. It makes them seem like just little children gushing about these people in the company.
I think they do it on WWE, though. Like
it works for me when, like, a Randy Orton comes down, or, you know, like a main roster legend comes down, and you have that. But when it's two girls who are meant to be kind of your peers, I don't know, I find it a little odd.
They still are trying to push, though, like, hey, these two are big deal, because there's a majority of us who don't, you know, aren't for familiar with them. So I guess they really are trying to show that, I guess, in some way. But yeah.
So earlier in the night, we got the rules for the gentleman's duel match, and I've got it here. All violations will result in a disqualification.
So you can't. What does that mean? Like no DQ, you're gone. What is that? Violations meaning like any of the normal things.
If you break any of these rules, you will be disqualified. So you can't strike an opponent when they have had 4 points of contact on the ground. So if they're lying on the ground, you can't hit them. So no ground and pound, essentially.
OK. Okay.
You can't throw an opponent over the top rope and to the floor. Oh. Competitors have until the referee's count of three, not five, to break when in the ropes. And there is absolutely no fighting on the floor. So keep it contained to the ring and have a wrestling match. No, not real striking and all that. And if you break any of these rules, you will be disqualified. You got
so,
it?
So yeah, I think so. It's just like, hey, be a good sport about this. This is like what, Ring of Honor Pure? Essentially, just not the rounds, essentially. You joked last week that, like, the Queensberry, what is it?
Queensberry rules match.
Yeah, like, I guess it didn't go quite in that direction because it seems like it's a pretty standard, boring match with, like, no exceptions on any of the, like, rule bending that we see in wrestling. So I totally understand that. However, Booker T, maybe like me and some other people watching, was a little confused at some of these rules. So Vic Joseph had to bring up that, hey, maybe if it was a San Francisco 49ers match, that maybe you'd understand. And for those who might not be familiar, that was a good one. Booker T got right there. And you could tell he was like, ah, shut up. And like really tries to get away from Vic Joseph, just absolutely roasting him there. But that was the one where
Vic going into a plug for Peacock with it as well. Yeah, so you can check it out if you don't know what I'm talking about.
He had me fucking rolling there. That was such a good back and forth with Vic and Book. But yeah, he's referring to the one where it was like the weapons are in the boxes and the title was in the box and then it like fell out, like pure Russo moment. Right. But yeah, Vic got him for sure. I thought that was great. And then right away I was like, Vic, you're right. I understand these rules. I totally get it. Let's just go with it. There's like, no rounds in this. I get it.
It's not rounds, but it's basically going to the old school rules of wrestling. I think over the years you've seen wrestling being influenced by MMA and all this other stuff. There was, who was it? Bill Watt? I can't remember who the booker was who banned like an NWA WCW for a while. You couldn't get thrown over the top rope.
That was such a WCW thing. Yeah,
that would be a DQ. And if you think back to like the Royal Rumble match where Taz chokes out Kurt Angle and it was like, it's a choke, that's illegal. We see a choke in every match now, you know, and the ground and pound and that kind of thing. So I think it's more taking it back to like a traditional era of wrestling.
I mean, I prefer this gentleman rules match to a rounds match, and I prefer this gentleman rules match to the touch four corners of a ring match. So yes. I do like this.
So earlier in the show, Lexus King is still mad at Oro for cheating, and he says, look, we've got to have just a fair wrestling match, and may the best man win. And Oro Mensah is like, I'm still not buying it. And Lexus King's reasoning here is like, look, my dad took all these shortcuts and he wasn't really ever there for me. So I'm trying to be a better man than my dad was, which goes back to his like initial debut of his character where he like killed off his father, if you will, and calling himself Lexus King. But now he's doing it in more of a babyface way. Like it's interesting. It's weird.
Yeah. Like, hey, my dad was known as a bit of a stinker. Meaning like he was a bit of a mean guy and some of the things he did wasn't very gentlemanlike. So I'm trying to right those wrongs.
So we then get a tweet sent out by Tavion Heights who says, let's see if Lexus was paying attention to the rules. So we get kind of a sense that NQCC have been training Lexus King in the gentleman's rules match all week. So we get to the match and it's just some classic wrestling to start with. There's a high cross from Lexus for a two and then slaps. Oro hits a slap with an open palm and then Lexus throws Oro over the top rope, but then catches him because he realizes if he falls to the floor, that's a DQ. We come back from the break and there's a swanton bomb from Lexus, a leg sweep from Mensah, followed by some rapid chops to the chest, and then a tierras from Oro and power slam for a two. And then we see, as it's going on, Lola Vice is just training backstage. We get in the split string. We then get an uppercut exchange from the two, followed by a rolling capo kick from Oro Mensah to the top of the head, which looked very good. Book is asking, is it legal? Can you do that? It's like, no, you can't punch them when they're on the ground, but you can kick them in the top of the head. That's perfectly okay. Lexus then gets up top and gets knocked off with another flipping kick.
Yeah.
It's like the Osprey-esque, like the running up the chest kind of kick.
This was pretty impressive. Like, yeah, Oro usually, one of his famous moves is that Capo Liger kick, like where you spin and you kick the guy on like the crown of the head. But he then did like some sort of like Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, like flipping kick here, which was even more impressive than the movie usually does. So yeah, that was something we don't usually see from him. And that was, I'll definitely remember that. I'm sure you'll see clips of that online.
Look really cool. There's then a springboard thrust kick for a two. Lexus gets back into it with a super kick. There's a lariat from Oro. They're both trading roll-ups. And then Lexus King, I guess, watching the brand new Japan IWGP World Champion, catches Oro with the European clutch to pick up the win. And after the match, Lexus raises Oro's hand, and we're just all waiting for him to then punch him in the face. But he doesn't, and Oro Mensah is just looking very confused as the match ends.
Okay, so classic Tuesday night for me is when Lexus King's music hits. You could just hear the groan, no matter where you are in the world, of a lot of people like, oh, okay, here he comes. So I might say something very brave, very bold, but damn it, when do I not tell the truth while recording a podcast? Is this the best Lexus King match we've ever seen?
100%. I'm glad you said it, because I thought I was going to be going like, I actually really enjoyed this. And you go, no, he sucks. But
like,
this was like,
you should always wrestle gentleman rules, because I mean, call me crazy. Okay, you mentioned the finish is he's hitting the European clutch. I guess this is now the King clutch, if you will. It looked really good. Before that, he also hit a Made in Japan. So a Made in Cincinnati here from Pillman Jr. I thought this like had some actual good back and forth. I think he did a Swanton at one point. Look, we are not Lexus King defenders at all, but we've been honest in saying like, hey, his wrestling has not been improving since being in NXT. And then he goes out and has a little ditty like this. So I actually, you know what? I actually really got into this match, and the rules made it different because you're kind of focused on, hey, what makes this different than a normal match? But then when it came down to it, they're doing straight up wrestling holds and wrestling moves. So again, don't hate on us. Don't at me, but this may be his best match we've ever seen.
No, I absolutely thought it was. I think keeping it contained to the ring and having Lexus leaning more babyface, it took away all the bad habits, which is, you know, stalling, going to the outside, striking a pose, talking some shit, going back in the ring, hitting. We didn't see any of his like stupid moves. We didn't see that awful run to the back of the head with the whatever he does,
yeah,
the drive-by move. And I think keeping it in the ring, it focused on the wrestling a lot more. And Oro Mensah is great. Like, he, every time we see him, I feel he pulls out something different. And I really thought this worked. I feel, if I'm nitpicking, I'd have liked them to have maybe done a couple more teases of, you know, like when Oro got almost thrown to the floor and then they caught him. I thought maybe you could do a couple more things, like round the guy and go to deliver an elbow and then be like, oh shit, I can't do that, just to establish a bit more what the rules are. But yeah, I thought this was definitely Lexus King's best match.
Like, yeah, like we're not usually praising him, but again, he has to improve since being here. And if this is some improvements here, then like, all for it, man. Like, show us that you can wrestle, show us that you can go. And I thought this was great. Yeah, we do love Oro Mensah. Like, he's another underrated, like, wild card talent that just like always seems to shine whenever he actually has TV time. He makes the most of it. So yeah, this was surprisingly pretty fun to watch.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MCU Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. Tag us in a photo of yourself wearing our merch on social media, and I'll even send you a signed postcard while supplies last. That's chopped-tees.com/post-wrestling.
We go backstage and we see Javon Evans with Cedric Alexander, and Javon says that You know, facing Randy last week was bucket list stuff. And Fraxium show up. And they say that he should be very proud about what he did last week. And then Cedric's like, wait a minute. Shouldn't you apologize to us because you cost us that tag team match 3 weeks ago? And they're like, ah, when Wesley comes in and tells Javon that it isn't his time and that he's standing in his way. And Javon just brushes him off, says, look, you've been salty since you've lost your friends. And Wes goes, well, when you're NXT champion, you don't need friends. And Javon reminds him that he's never been NXT champion. And they start to bicker and it kind of cuts away.
Yeah, I mean, kind of valid from Javon to bring that up, because Fraxium are the baby faces, but they seem to have this weird like tweener thing going where they can't get along, or they're kind of dickheads to some people. They did cost them that match. I think Cedric and Javon is a match we could go to potentially at Halloween Havoc, I guess, even if that could be like the tag team match. And then the curse of Axiom maybe splitting up tag teams could eventually happen with those two to spiral into a feud with Cedric and Javon. But yeah, I thought Javon, like, he handles his promos more like he's 20. So he kind of acts like he's a 20-year-old when Wes is in here all angry and Javon just kind of like starts cutting him off and is just like running him down. I thought it was pretty good. And again, he's 20. I'm like, man, like, you're actually pretty good at the promo stuff too. So a kind of another complete package waiting in the wings here. A few, like, give him a year or two in NXT, he'll probably be champion. And then I think, like, just go full throttle with him, hopefully being a pretty big star with WWE. But yeah, I'm interested because, like, we're getting Wes versus Paige versus Javon, when it's still weird that Wes is a heel, because Javon versus Wes does sound pretty good, like the one-on-one. But
I think we're going. I think we're going Javon and Wes rather than and you could even spin that out of the tag match. You could get Fraxium against Javon and Cedric
next week,
TV.
Maybe. Yeah.
Next week, week after, whenever, and Wes costs because he's angry that Javon's
right
pin.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. Spot. Halloween Havoc have Javon versus Wes. That would be like show stealer for sure. We definitely need to get to that. Absolutely.
We get a recap from Raw when we see Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson interfere in the match between the Sky Pirates, Io Sky and Kairi Sane, versus Bianca and Jade. And Io's put out a tweet saying she can't eat a punch and be done with it. So issues a challenge. And it has been confirmed for next week. We are getting the return of the Sky Pirates to NXT, taking on Jakara and Lash Legend.
Okay, so for some newbie listeners who are like, oh, what's the deal with these Sky Pirates? Longtime listeners know that we are a big fan of the Sky Pirates. Mr. Sir Davey Portman, favorite wrestler potentially ever, may be Kairi Sane. And the same goes for me for Io Sky. So collectively known as the Sky Pirates, we really love these two. And they were a great, you know, part of NXT when they were both down here. So definitely excited to see those two come down, and calling them the Sky Pirates again just warms my heart. So, you know, we got to bust out the Sky Pirates painting for next week.
Oh yeah. Baby.
You got to have it full on, just letting people be scared by that classic. But yeah, we love these two, and I'm definitely excited to see those two back. Even if it's just one time or whatever, it's cool that they're doing the integration and synergy, if you will, with like the main roster in NXT. But I know that like the match they got on SmackDown was pretty short, and like people were kind of like, oh, if you're going to give them the opportunity, like, why not give them a bigger like time? Like, I wasn't expecting the win or anything, but I still think it's pretty cool that you are slowly letting people know who might not, that may have been the first time they saw like Lash Legend or Jakara Jackson or anything. So I still think it's a pretty good idea.
Yeah. I think it's great. I think you've got one set of women's tag titles across all three brands, and the women's tag division is quite weak. And this, when they set this thing up years ago, they made it sound like they were going to be defended a bunch on NXT. And I think they had two title defenses in that first, before the women's title, like the NXT women's tag titles were introduced. I think you need to do this a lot more. I think it will strengthen the division. You could even, I mean, unlikely when we're only getting these five match like PLEs, but you could have an NXT like tag title match, like an NXT team on a PLE or a big Raw or a big SmackDown. And I think you're building up Roxanne and Cora as well back as a unit. You've got Julia and Vaquer, who are currently a unit. I think you should see more of this and have it a lot more regularly coming down and being defended here, or NXT talent going to Raw or SmackDown to have a match there as well.
Yeah, I mean, you could have done Cora, Roxanne versus Stephanie and Julia for all the power, all the gold.
You could, yeah.
In that kind of way. Maybe. Yeah.
We then get a promo from Jakara and Lash. They say they don't care how dangerous Damage Control are. They'll eliminate them from the title picture, and they're coming for that gold. We then get... I thought the graphics for Halloween Havoc looked pretty cool. We got the match card for the Tables, Ladders, Stairs match between Obafemi and
Stairs and match. Tony D. Oh, that was a different match.
That was Eric Rowan, wasn't it?
Yeah, don't bring back the Stairs match, please.
Tables, Ladders, and Scares, my bad.
I do always love the graphics and stuff for Halloween Havoc. I hope we bring back the giant pumpkin. They did that once or twice, right? Or did Johnny cut that up, or someone cut that up or something? I forget what happened to that. But yeah, I like when it gets all scary and spooky and a little silly, because it's cool that it's so great that they brought it back and then also made it a PLE.
This one's in an arena, isn't it, as well? It's right, in Hershey. So Hershey. You could totally do a bit more of an elaborate set for this, I'd hope, rather than just the studio. We get a video for Nikita Lyons showing her train. She says she'll knock your lights out, and she's had some setbacks in the past, but will overcome them. NXT is the best women's division in wrestling, and this lioness isn't ready to be tamed, and I'm taking over.
And yeah, like, she's been out for a year. We'll get into her match and everything, but there's a lot of people who maybe, you know, started watching NXT again, and we're like, wait, who is this person? I never saw them yet. And it's like, oh, wait, we got to reintroduce people. And I think something that maybe some fans watching who do remember her are like, hey, like, a lot has changed in NXT since, like, she's been out for what seems over a year. Now we have Vaquer and Julia and Roxanne on this crazy run. Like, the 2.0 kind of stink is washed away a little bit. And I think Nikita might have some trouble trying to find maybe some footing in like the, she's a lioness, right? So in the jungle of the women's roster now, you know, it might be a little bit more difficult as, you know, we're getting into this next match. But before we got to the match, we had an exciting, extremely exciting announcement about next week.
Yeah, some dude won a car race.
Cole Custer from NASCAR Infinity. You know, I let out a big, who? Yeah. Who's this guy? Cole Krusty? What's his name? Cole Custer. I'm so sorry. I'm not necessarily a NASCAR fan. I don't knock it. Yeah. I'm sure
Cole Custer's going to be the next sexy red and poppy. Where you put him on TV enough, okay? I guess.
Can he twerk like sexy red though? Let's see. Like,
I wouldn't put anything past Cole Custer.
Cole Custer, this NASCAR driver got junk in his trunk, I guess, or something like that. But will he drive his car next week? What's he going to do? Like, just show off his trophy?
I don't even know what NASCAR is, really. What's the difference between that? What's the difference between that and Formula? It's just shit Formula One.
It's America. That's what NASCAR is. Okay, it's just, you know, Eagles, guns, beer, and NASCAR.
That would have been on the American shit Formula One. There we go.
Yeah, it's basically a bunch of guys going around a track a whole lot of times, but I know a lot of people bet and gamble on it and stuff. But yeah, Cole Custer. Really Cold excited Custard. About Cold Custard coming soon to NXT.
Can't wait. We then go to Lola Vice taking on Nikita Lyons.
Yeah, this was not Cold Custard at all.
No, we get some welcome back chants. Both are going for their like quick kicks, and Lola knocks down Nikita first and then wiggles her bum with her little dance. And then Nikita knocks her down and she wiggles her bum and does a dance herself. Nikita then runs shoulder first into the turnbuckle. We get a sleeper hold from Lola, but Nikita is staggering around and eventually swings around and slams her to the mat for a two count. We then get some ground and pound from Lola, but she's turned over into some ground and pound from Lyons. Remember, this would have been a disqualification in a gentleman's rules match.
A gentlewoman's match coming soon.
Gentlewoman's rules.
Yeah.
We get some rapid kicks from Lola Vice, and then Lola tells us all that she is a Latina and does the running hip attack in the corner. This is where Jada Parker then runs down. She gets knocked off the apron from Lola, but then Nikita super kicks Lola, which sends her to the outside. And then Jada hits the hypnotic. And now we've been very critical of this move, but I thought this was the best she's ever hit this. It actually looked like it kind of hurt. And the refs,
because it was outside the ring.
I guess so.
Yeah.
The ref's distracted by Lyon, so doesn't see it. And Nikita hits the Vader bomb for the win.
Yeah, good old-fashioned Vader bomb. Haven't seen one of those win a match since, like, what, Jake Hager? Something like that.
Well, but I'm imagining she's, after double knee surgery, she's abandoning the double leg split pin thing.
Oh, that was her move, right? I was trying to remember what her move
was. I think this was kind of, let's do something. You know, she's like one of the bigger women in the division, so like a big kind of, you're not going to do the bonsai drop because Nia's doing that. So using the Vader bomb, it's simple. She can do it effectively and probably is going to fuck up her knees a little less.
Yeah, like, again, I'm you know, hoping it works out for her. But at a young age in NXT with double, like, what seems like, what, knee replacement, ACL, whatever it may be, like, you, it's worrying and it's troubling. But I didn't necessarily think she looked bad in this match. I think Lola is someone that I'm like, they were a little hot and cold on, and they're like keeping the wings for something. And maybe they want her to get some more reps in because, you know, she had her title shot at Heatwave, and I thought she stood up and was really good. But now it's like, what do we do with her? So now having Nikita come in, we got this feud with Jada with Lola. So there's a few things going around, and it helped get Nikita back on TV. It helped her get her win back. But I do think Nikita's going in more of a heel direction, which I think might be more suitable for her, because having her videos when she was a babyface and then showing the videos before this match, like, hey, I do this, 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 I sing, and this is like, oh, maybe you come across like one of those over larger than life annoying characters that like people would like to hate you for doing all those different things or something. I'm not sure, but it wasn't a bad match by any means, but yeah.
I didn't necessarily get the sense that she was the heel in this, though. I like the, even the finish with Jada interfering, it wasn't Nikita kind of like having it happen. But yeah, it's something I do like with NXT. They do have multiple women's feuds and women's feuds that aren't over titles and stuff like that. Lola is on TV pretty much every week, so I do think they're keeping her as like a hot act, but are waiting for the right time, whether it to be enter that North American division at some point after maybe we get Fallon or whoever win that off of Lani. But yeah, I thought, you know, Nikita looked all right considering she's been off TV.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Like I was wondering how she was going to look, and I didn't think she looked bad by any means. So good for her.
And I like them trading their kicks and stuff. I thought both have their,
And lots of bum shaking. I feel like Lola just does it in every match, but lately, every time she fights someone, then they got to do the bum shaking back at her, and then it's just this whole twerk off, and where's Sexy Red?
We go to Ava's office, where she grants Stephanie and Julia the tag match at Halloween Havoc, when Fatal Influence come in, and they go, oh, is that how it works? You just ask Ava for a match, and you get it? So they're like, all right, well, we want a North American title shot. And she says, no, it doesn't work like that. If you want a North American championship shot, two of you next week have to face Julia and Stephanie to earn it. And they're all looking a little, oh, we don't want to do that, but they accept.
Yes, Jasmine Nix looking very scared that she's like, oh, we got to fight these two. I think that's pretty cool. I also like Fallon being the one who's like, yeah, all right, like,
yeah,
let's go. Fallon is definitely the standout for this
group. And it's not going to be Jasmine in the match, most likely.
Yeah.
We go to Riley Osborne versus Ridge Holland. Riley Osborne's entrance is pretty cool.
Okay, well, are you ribbing me here? Because this, yet again, I'm like, man, like, this thing is just, it just gives you a headache. It's like this tunnel of, like, Have you ever?
It's great.
It's your brain on drugs. It's like
the TARDIS going through time. It's awesome.
I don't know what you just said.
Or the Twilight Zone, like
It's very like Tron. It's lights. It's like a light tube or something. I don't know. I don't like it. I love lights. I love tripping out on fun lights and LEDs and all sorts of crazy stuff. But if it's making me be like, oh, what is this? Stop, please. And I don't have any history of like, you know, lights bothering me and stuff. I could imagine it could. I've said this before. I could clearly see someone being like, ah, please turn this off. Oh, and then what? How does it match his gimmick at all? His gimmick is not like Axiom. This is more like Axiom's. Like
he's fast, I guess. I don't know. I think it looked cooler because of the black and silver set. Now it kind of the video worked with it, and I thought the music kind of was cool and how he just like appears jumping out. I don't know. It was more I've got out of Riley Osborne than I have before.
Yeah, I also think you could see him waiting, if I'm not mistaken. He was like, all right, like Rey Mysterio ready to jump out of the thing. Kids don't know, but he used to do that a lot.
So Ridge comes out and Riley jumps Ridge on the entrance. He's delivering some drop kicks to the face. There's a high cross and a running shooting star to Ridge for a two count. And then they spill to the outside and Osborne hits a diving DDT off the announce table onto the floor. They get back into the ring and Ridge takes control with a big gut wrench power bomb and then hits the Redeemer DDT for the win. And I'll go right into the post match. Ridge continues the attack and then Andre Chase makes his return and attacks Ridge and sends him running away.
Okay, so first of all, Redeemer DDT, very funny. We've had a Redeemer in wrestling before. I thought the DDT from Riley off the commentary desk to Ridge was really impressive. Just before that, though, it looked like Riley was trying to do one of those like Osprey flip powerbomb type moves, but Ridge just did not know how to be the base here at all, and they just kind of just like abandoned it midway, and then they tried to go for something else, and then you could just see them staring at each other like, what are you doing? And I don't know who had the miscommunication, but it was a few seconds of a pretty hairy match there. But then they did step it up with like that DDT and stuff. And it was a pretty short match with Ridge just destroying him minus that DDT. But not quite the return of Andre Chase that we were envisioning in our sicko wrestling NXT Chase You lovable fans, because I still think you could have had Duke come out here, set up the match for Duke and Ridge at the pay-per-view, which we said is in a actual arena, and then you do the school bus come out, Andre Chase come out, and I think you would have got like the crowd perked up for it, but I think it would have made for something a bit more special, because now like are we going for Ridge versus Andre at Halloween Havoc, and then we get the return of Duke, or we get the turn of Thea? It's Ridge, like before this was not necessarily my favorite, and now we've been on the other side, I don't want to say it's slowly falling apart and becoming a little less interesting, but something's missing a beat here, that even though Andre Chase returned tonight, it seems like the crowd didn't care as much. I didn't necessarily care as much. Something's off with it.
What I found off with it is Ridge wrote off Andre Chase, wrote off Duke Hudson, and then it's Riley who is like perceived the weakest of the three. He had a match with Ridge like 2 weeks ago, and it was exactly the same match. It was Riley getting everything in to start with, like jumping him, getting the advantage, and then Ridge just overpowering him and destroying him. It was exactly the same this week, and it's like, well, why is Duke Hudson not back yet? Like, because Riley was beaten 2 weeks ago, and then Riley is able to wrestle him again this week, and it feels a little backwards. And then they essentially gave us the same match as they did a couple of weeks ago, I thought, and the beatdown wasn't like savage enough, and the return of Andre Chase was just him running out. I think Ridge needed to be a bit more sadistic to like, and Riley really needed to be a bit more fucked up than this to warrant the return. And like, I'm trying to remember the beatdown on Duke, but I feel it was just he beat him. I don't think it was
I think like he put him through a table. Yeah. He put him through the commentary desk, if I'm not mistaken. Okay.
But that happens every
week. Yeah. I just, in matches every week. It's like, yeah. I feel like there was something like a step missed. Or just maybe they're like, yeah, actually, this isn't that exciting anymore. And because at one point I was like, oh man, I don't know why, but I'm so involved and so into this Chase U thing. And I just feel like ever since the turn, he's attacked them. And then it's like, why is Riley the one that we're supposed to like get behind? So I don't even know if the turn with Thea is actually coming, but I wouldn't even be surprised at this point if it is. But I just want to get back to Chase U, tag team titles. All will be good in the world yet again. You could have done like a classroom clock countdown, you know, like he's coming. He sees what you've been doing. He's getting your revenge. Or like, I don't know. There's so many different, like the school bus. There's so many different school or college things that they could have just done the old college try. And instead they're just like, yeah, Riley's going to be the one feuding.
Come out with an old school cane. You know what teachers used to use to punish children?
Wow.
When they used to cane them. Like
I thought they used like meter sticks or like rulers and stuff.
Yeah, it was called a cane. Like not a Singapore cane, but like a long stick. Yeah.
I thought you meant like Glenn Jacobs. Just come out and yell terrible, terrible things at them. That'd be what caning is now.
We see Tatum Paxley backstage, and she's being interviewed by Byron, and she says that Wendy Chu pretended to be her friend and play with her dolls, but it was just she ended up turning on her. And Jada Parker interrupts the interview, and Byron just goes, okay, and interviews Jada instead. And she's like, yeah, you're weird, Tatum. I'm interviewing Jada. And Jada says she has the division on lock, and Tatum's like, excuse me, you interrupted me. Look, I know you were just playing with Lola. And Jada interrupts and says, I don't play with anyone. So I imagine we're getting Tatum and Jada next week or something.
Now, just follow me for a second. I'm not suggesting that Vince McMahon still has anything to do with WWE, but Tatum here starts off by having a doll. And she looks at Byron and says, here, Byron, I think you might like this. You're telling me he didn't write this? You're telling me he didn't try to get one more? Wasn't he always making Byron just buried on all these shows? Maybe that's still an ongoing thing where now Sean is doing it. But yeah, Byron just like, you always forget. It's been weeks where we're like, oh, wait, Byron's still in WWE? Oh,
hey, shit. Byron's been lucky to be employed for 12 years or whatever it is at this point.
I'm not defending nor like shitting completely on Byron. He's a mic stand essentially on the last little while. I'm just like, man, they're always like really burying this guy, but bless him.
We go to our next match. Brooks Jensen taking on Ashanti the Adonis. We get a big clothesline from Ashanti for a two and Adonis, Brooks rakes the eye. Ashanti sends Brooks out of the ring with a baseball slide, and then there's a big drop kick. And this is where Carmen Petrovic comes out with the rose petals in a bag and just pours them over the apron. And this fires up Adonis, who hits a drop kick in the corner and then goes up top, but gets distracted by Spears. And this allows Brooks to knock him off the top and hit the draping DDT off the top rope for the win.
Yeah, I'm happy to see our boy Brooks get another win. He hasn't been on TV in a few weeks, at least wrestling, so that was pretty cool. Not quite sure what's going on with this story with Carmen and Ashanti. I'm assuming she's showing that, like, hey, you keep giving the rose to other people. She was very angry, like, facial-wise when he tried to give it to Brinley earlier, so I think maybe she's got a rose for Ashanti, and maybe they'll be some sort of power couple or a couple here in NXT, but unfortunately Ashanti learned that every rose has its thorn, because Brooks hit that DDT and kind of wins, where I was a little like, oh, shouldn't it have been Ashanti like winning because of this whole rose thing? But kind of silly, kind of dumb, but I'm happy to see both these characters, and I'm interested to kind of see where we go with. I love a good, you know, juicy love story, or if you can call it that. And I like Carmen. I like Ashanti. I like Brooks. I even like Sean Spears in this role right now. So I want to see where all this eventually goes.
Yeah, I think you're right. What you suggested the other week, that Carmen is interested in Ashanti. I was expecting a little bit more from the actual match because I do like both these guys wrestling and didn't really get to see a whole lot of it. But right result, I think that they are elevating Brooks in this new role, and Ashanti, he's there more for the soap opera rather than the necessarily like winning matches and championships at this point.
I just like when Sean Spears was like Ashanti, like Ashanti is a heel, is he not? Like, or is he?
Yeah.
He's just come to NXT to hit on women. I don't know if that's a heel or a babyface. He's smart. I just don't know if that's a bad guy or a good guy thing. But like when Sean Spears earlier was like, "Hey, you're being disrespectful," it would have been funny for like Brooks to then step in and remember like his whole storyline was he couldn't talk to women, and maybe now like he's talking like disrespectful, and that like is what set up the match or whatever. But anyways.
We then get another commercial for Delta. Anything more to add from this one?
Yeah, this is very like Marvel MCU villain here, where she was walking on the highway, very Walking Dead. She was then beating up like all these other dummies and you know, smaller women, and then cuts to her staring at this giant tower, this like post-apocalyptic world, and then now she's on top of the building with NXT, and then what, she like knocks it down and then stares at the camera. She's got like face paint and there's like fiery red hair and everything. I think she looks badass, and I cannot wait to see what she is capable of, because very cool. Like this would get non-wrestling fans' attention if these were to be played, because it's like, it does look like very supervillain CGI from the movies, but I'm interested to see where this goes, and like hopefully lives up to the hype, this wild Aussie Delta.
We get Lexus King walking backstage. This is pretty funny. He's just passing passing everyone's, just giving everyone compliments because he's happy.
He's nice, like, now.
Ah. He's like, Tony D, you're looking all good and dapper. He's just happy.
I loved this. He briefly says Charlie, and he's like, oh, thanks for the recommendation of the match. And Charlie's like, smiles like, oh, you know, yeah, glad, happy it worked out. And then as Lexus is walking, he's like, oh, you know, maybe I'm ready for that rounds match. And then he goes, oh, I don't know about that. He's like, oh, maybe I'm joking. Maybe I'm not. And then continues walking on. I'm like, yo, what the? Who removed the stick up this guy's ass? Like, he's,
you know what
now.
It felt like, though? It felt like the scene before, like, a whodunit. Like, he then gets shot in the parking lot, and it's like, who shot Lexus King? Because it just had all these characters there, and he's like, hey, he was way too happy. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was like Spider-Man 2 or 3, when like all of a sudden he's just happy again, and he's like, wow, like, have I been doing this wrong the whole time? And yeah. I just like, again, I don't know who we are, Davey, because here we are twice in one show praising Lexus King. Yeah. I think we're intellectuals? Somebody calls them?
I think we're
intellectuals now, because we find ourselves laughing at this guy and thought he actually had a decent match. So maybe he's slowly making fans out of us.
This kind of crossfades with the family, and as they're walking off, and they say, look, Ober is trying to threaten you, and no one threatens the Don. And Luca Crucifino says he wants a match with Ober Femi next week so he can step up for the Don. So we'll get this match next week as well.
Yeah. But then setting up for the pay-per-view, which I forgot, like, we only got a few weeks. There's only one more episode after this until the Sunday, the 27th. So shout out pay-per-views, though. Pay-per-views, baby, for sure.
So just to run it by, Sky Pirates versus Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson, Julia and Stephanie Vaquer versus the Fatal Influence. We'll get Luca Crucifino taking on Ober Femi. And Cold Custard will
be here. Colonel Mustard. About
cars. And that takes us to our main event, Ethan Page versus Wes Lee versus Javon Evans to determine the number one contender for the NXT Championship. Javon immediately super kicks Wes out the ring. There's some very quick pin attempts from all of them, drop kicks all round. Ethan Page boots Javon out the ring. Now they're brawling on the outside. And it's Wes and Paige who are fighting by the announce table when Javon just flies from out of nowhere. It's kind of like almost like the Undertaker dive over the top rope, but taking them all out on this table. We then get this big power slam in the ring from Paige, but Wes breaks it up. They're all trading punches and kicks and all go down with simultaneous roundhouse kicks to the side of the head. Paige then goes up to the top rope and Javon takes him down with a Spanish fly and then comes in with his Ospreay-esque flipping kick to Wes, but it's only a two count. We then get a roundhouse kick from Paige as he sets up for the Ego's Edge on Javon, but this somewhat gets countered into a Rana. Didn't get all of it. Javon then comes off the top with his cutter to Wes, but Wesley kicks out. And then Javon goes up top again, but this time Paige knocks him out off, goes for the Ego's Edge, but eats a kick from Wes. And now there's this big Tower of Doom spot where Paige powerbombs Wesley and Javon flips, landing on his feet, and then super kicks Paige out the ring, goes up the top and hits his triple jump corkscrew senton onto Wesley. 1, 2, and Ethan Page runs in and rolls up Javon Evans for the three count.
I don't know if that reaction is because he cheated to win in the last second or we're going to this match.
See this match again. Yeah.
You know what? This was pretty fun. We're definitely a broken record, but Javon Evans, 20 years old and is so flashy, so bouncy, if you will, like he's coming up with moves that we haven't seen yet. So some of them are maybe a bit too like ambitious as we kind of saw from last week and some of these moves, but like he is so fast. He is so flippy and jumpy. And like, he's got that spring, that hops that not a lot of other people have, but he is just so fun to watch. He's so fresh. And I think Ethan Page and him kind of work well. We've seen multiple times with them in like multi-man matches where you have like the base Ethan Page where Wes and him were doing some of the flippy stuff back and forth. So I think wrestling wise, this was probably my match of the night on this episode because there was just some crazy stuff coming from all three of these guys, which the timing on some of the stuff like the finish was pretty on point. So yeah, I think this spirals off into Wes versus Javon, which would just be a singles match between these two, would just really just be fire. Just so good to see those two go at it with some of the stuff they got. But Paige versus Trick is also where we're going for Halloween Havoc. And this will be what, the third?
This will singles? Be the third singles match.
Yeah.
So after the match, Ethan Page goes up the ramp and goes, Trick Williams, I ain't going nowhere. If I have air in my lungs, that NXT title is coming back to me. And he spins the wheel and it lands on a Devil's Playground match. So
a Hell in a Cell? Devil's Playground?
Unfortunately not. I think it's just a street fight, isn't it? And I think we've seen it before with the plastic slide and things like that involved.
Yeah, we have. And that's kind of like a step down if this is your world heavyweight title here in NXT when it's literally the playground match, meaning there is a slide and swings and all that kind of stuff. So a bit of a head scratcher there. Kind of weird that we're going yet again back to Ethan Page versus Trick for it's the third singles, but we've seen them back and forth. So it's a few times already and the title is flip-flopped back and forth. So I
maybe guess third time lucky. Like I really haven't enjoyed their matches so far. So
yeah,
I did groan a little bit with this being the match. But if we're getting Wesley and Javon out of this, that makes sense. I could see Ethan Page moving up pretty soon. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him on the main roster pretty soon. Like they've already set up some little things with CM Punk over the last couple of weeks. And I don't know if his time in NXT is too long.
There's a few weeks.
We clearly, I think the next big feud for Trick is Wes Lee, I'd imagine. And that does sound like a good match we can have on a PLE down the line.
But then it's backwards because it's like Wes has been here like what seems longer than Trick. His story to getting to the title is like can be such a big babyface story and moment and everything like that. So it would feel so backwards having it that way because the people would probably turn on Trick if given the opportunity.
There's no other option, so really, okay. At the moment.
Yeah, again, tinfoil hat here. Ethan Page, via the help of his friend Ricky Starks, becomes NXT champion again. Like, we've been saying that for the past few months, and it hasn't happened. At this point, I don't think it is happening, but like they're doing this match again, which makes me go like, why? But there really isn't any other option for Trick. You could have done Javon versus Trick, but again, I think you may fear the consequence of people somewhat turning on Trick for the sake of the match to have people cheering for Javon there. So yeah, I'm not quite sure here, because at one point I'm really happy that Trick won the title last week. He's such a good character and a star here, but at the same time, he doesn't have any like viable opponents in the next little while, unless we do Wes, unless we do another Ethan Page. So that's probably why they have to do this.
I don't think they're turning Wes Lee back anytime soon. I do see that being the match, probably, deadline or the PLE after that. But yeah, we're getting this one again. Hopefully, you know, with the stipulation, we can get something a little better than the other two. We also, what the last match was on TV and didn't have a whole lot of time, did it? Because it was just about 10 minutes on that first NXT episode on CW. So, you know, give them a little bit longer, no commercials. You've got some gimmickry in there as well. Maybe this is the one that finally like connects, but I can't say it overly excites me.
Yeah, I do agree. Ethan Page on NXT WWE's social media just like a little while ago, Ethan saying, I promise that this match won't be for the faint of heart. So Devil's Playground, we're getting like shovels in the eyes, sand in the eyes, slide kicks. I don't know what faint of heart could come from.
Old rusty swings.
Oh.
You know, like
oh, I could get a disease from that. Don't hit me with that.
Yeah,
oh,
like one of them.
You want needles? That we've done that. I don't know if this I'm trying to think. I wouldn't mind Ethan Page moving up to the main roster. I think he would fit in just fine. He's such a good talker. Got to see Hamilton represent. And I hope this match, like of the whole series that we've seen, does step up and does impress. But I'm not necessarily like, oh, this is something I'm really excited for and feels very fresh, because it's definitely not. But I didn't mind this episode, though. Like,
no,
it's setting up for Halloween Havoc, and we know some matches for the show. And again, it's already not sounding like the most impressive lineup or card on paper, but at the same time, it's Halloween Havoc, and they tend to be a pretty fun show. And as a PLE, I think it will deliver.
Yeah, I thought this was kind of a return to form when it came to the in-ring product in NXT compared to the last couple of weeks. I really enjoyed the main event. I think whoever they've got in NXT who's agenting these multi-man matches, they always seem to deliver, I think, these triple threats, these four ways they've had. And Wes Lee is one of the best at these matches. We saw him in a bunch in his North American title run, and they're always pretty fun to watch. But I really enjoyed Stephanie Vaquer and Ren Sinclair to open the show. I thought that was a nice little snapshot of what they're capable of. And overall, you know, we've got some matches put together. We can kind of see what the rest of the card is going to look like. I kind of enjoyed this episode this week. Yeah, you didn't have the pageantry of the last couple of weeks in the arenas, but I thought definitely the wrestling was back on form this week.
Yeah, I think so as well. Like the main event definitely delivered, but I was surprised by a few of the other matches. Hell, even a Lexus King match. So it was a thumbs up for me for this episode. And like I said, even if some of these matches are like rematches or tag matches or whatever, I think the gimmick of Halloween Havoc alone usually makes it for an entertaining watch. Like, I don't think I've ever been like, wow, that was awful or whatever. Maybe we don't need to go back to Zombie Ref. I think we could maybe leave that one alone or anything. But
who's going to be the host? We don't have a host yet, do we? Halloween Havoc?
Just get Shotzi again. Come on. Who else are you going to get? Shotzi and Carrying Karrion Cross's Scarlet.
Scarlet.
Yeah, I feel like they do.
Yeah, I mean, how long has Shotzi been out for? It's been a while now, hasn't it? Her injury.
She can host, right? She can host.
Whether she wants to ride a plane, I don't know.
I mean, I hope we get more like gimmick matches. Like so far, those two are just the kind of the basic ones. But you know, spin the wheel and make a deal. I want Coal Miner's Glove. I want a Monster Truck Madness match. Bring that back. Mm-hmm. You know, bring some, you know, a Hershey Street fight is probably what we'll get though.
So that's what we thought. We always throw up a feedback thread on the Patreon, on the Facebook group, just search for Poison Rana. if you use Facebook, and you can leave all your comments. And do you want to go ahead with feedback, or shall I? I think we have one piece.
Go for it. Yeah, please.
Well, we have Magan, who says, it's business as usual as NXT returned to Orlando. Vaquer Sinclair had a good flow to it as it went from technical to strong style. Ren hung with Stephanie, and it's a good sign of faith from the higher-ups that she's got elevated in defeat. I do wonder what the direction will be for all four women after the tag match at Halloween Havoc, and with Delta on her way over. The Meteor is heading straight for Roxy and Cora. The Triple Threat main event, no surprise, was the match of the night. Not too sold on Paige Trick for the third time. The Devil's Playground Stip should be the full stop to their war. Where's Javon could be a good program for both men. Ridge Holland is showing some improvement in his one-man war on Chase U. Speaking of trilogies, Obafemi needs to move on from the North American title after the ladder match. Tony D'Angelo is once again the underdog. I bet they'll outdo themselves. Next week looks good with Io and Kairi stopping by to get their receipt on Metaphor. Is it a stretch to see the women's tag titles get defended in Hershey? I don't see that happening, especially with the women's tag with Julia and Stephanie. You're muted, Braden.
Yeah, I do think we will get Delta like attacking Roxy, attacking someone, right, to show her dominance, yeah. And then we go to that match eventually. But we got a pretty stacked, you know, a few people there that we all want to see Roxy face. So whether it's that eliminator match that we do at Deadline, right, that we get some multi people and everything. But yeah, I'm looking forward to...
I think Magan's asking if the tag titles will get defended.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, yeah. Definitely don't really care about that. But they could make it feel a bit more important. But I don't think that this is the show that they will do that on. But yes, there you go. That was NXT Tonight from Tuesday, October 15th, 2024. Let us know. Do you agree, disagree? At Poison Rana Pod, Twitter and Instagram. Give us a little follow and tweet us. Or is it X us now? I don't know if that sounds the same, but yeah. Yeah, there you go. We'll be back next Tuesday, as we always are here. Shout out the CW not letting them do the overrun. So shout out local news wherever you are. So we tend to go live at 10:05 now on Tuesdays. So John away, you know, they got the 2 hour Raws. We get the 10:05. It's the little victories, but we'll take it. Okay. We'll take it. We will be going live for Halloween Havoc right after it ends on the Sunday, the 27th. So put that in your calendar. If you will be watching Halloween Havoc, we will be here live right after on the Post Wrestling YouTube with our Halloween Havoc post show. And then to keep things along, I know a Halloween is the a few days after that, but a few days after that could be potentially the real scariest day on the calendar, which is November 5th. Election night for the United States of America. And I think it's safe to say that we will not be going live that Tuesday night. And it looks like NXT also will not be going live on that night. So that kind of works out for us. But yeah, go vote.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you have it. That's NXT. That's up next.
Thank you very much, everyone. Again, patreon.com/poisonrana. $5, become a friend. Get our Best Match Ever Abyss, our Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Blair Witch Project, Halloween Havoc 95, so many podcasts, $5 a month. What are you waiting for? Pennies per podcast there. And I myself, Brayden Harrington. You can follow me Twitter, Instagram, at the Brayd.
And you can find me at Davey Portman.
That's it. That's all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And happy spooky season.
Ahoy!